Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Check out the website, allbook-books.com. So sometimes when I'm writing and I get enough ideas to gel together, I get an essay, or what I call an essay. Some people call them articles, but kind of borders on the creativity side. I call it an essay. Then a while ago, I started a series, which is up to 15 of them. It's called Coan: Fragments of a Distorted World, with a nod to Lawrence Ferlinghetti's book Pictures of the Gone World. Basically, it's when the idea doesn't gel, so I put the fragments and make it a fragmented bits. And the koan is the Japanese Zen riddle in simplified terms. That's the goal of it, is to get beyond dualistic thinking. And so oftentimes, you know, the most famous one is, what is the sound of one hand clapping? So immediately your mind goes somewhere it doesn't normally go. Or one of my favorites, if everything returns to the one, what does the one return to? Now, you can think about these, the Zen students think about these sometimes for 10 years until they have the aha moment of enlightenment as to what it means. So the essays also pose a lot of questions. And so this week's Get Lit is, I haven't written an essay yet, but these are the bits that might make an essay. So I just figured it'd be more fun to talk about them than to write them at the moment. The first bit is to realize that most of the news that one reads, when you read about different, quote, countries, it's fake. It's all fake. National identity, most of it is fake, I would say, except for some of the maybe Latin American countries where the leaders are actually representing large swaths of people. But otherwise, the countries are fake. What I mean by that is that it's not just a government running the country. It is controlled by the legal system. The court is controlled by the court, corporations, multinational corporations. You've got like China trying to mine in Nevada for lithium. So wait, how does a foreign country mine in the U.S.? So, like, the U.S. is not a country. It's whatever you want to call it. That's a whole topic. But that's my message, is that when you read the news, remember that countries are fronts. It's a label that's a front for something else, for the most part. National identity is a hoax. That's why I talk about Turtle Island and the Native people so much, because the U.S. was just built on top of the genocidal activities. So it's not real. But of course, our day-to-day lives are, we have to deal with the realities. And that leads into taxes for war. Rah-rah America, when billions of dollars are going to Ukraine, tax money to buy weapons to fight somebody else's war. But it's not really somebody else's war, because it's being instigated by NATO and such like. So there's another one. Then on to the more trivial but kind of insightful, I think. Going to Homeland Depot the other day, and I see, this is where I almost became a stand-up comedian when I was younger, and this is the kind of stuff that is just the social observation that is in a way funny, but yet it's very telling. So looking around, and I see, you know, the shower heads, shower massages, whatever you want to call them, that there's like so many choices. And then in the paint section, I was looking for a kind of beige color a month or so ago. And there's like so many shades of that. And then at the supermarket, I've walked by the aisle where the women's hair coloring is, and there's like hundreds. There's hundreds. And I remember 20 something years ago I was counting in the supermarket the cereals, and there was like hundreds. So many cereals. But here's the thing, it's an illusion. How many shower head choices can there be? I mean, some people can barely get clean water, and yet here there's like 100 choices of which style shower head you want. Something is askew, and I think on a deeper psychological level, without having studied it, that it puts people into some mental zone that they become not even aware of the amount of energy and resources and consciousness that is going into the fact that there are umpteen choices when there are other things, more important things going on. I mean, even a couple of few choices of shower heads. Okay, 5, maybe 10. But like 50? And then the other day, I sent a friend a video, and as I want to do, because I know people are busy, I said it's a short video, and she commented that how kind of funny it is that why we have to do that nowadays. And the irony of it is that we have all these gadgets and technology that are supposed to, I mean, if you think about it idealistically, are supposed to make life easier, because, you know, think about your cooking and your meals. If you had to start a fire every night, dinner would take way longer. But instead, you have more time because you can go out to eat. You can cook regular on a stove. You can cook microwave, whatever you cook. The time, you can have instant meals. You just unfreeze the lasagna in 10 minutes and boom, you got the meal. So we have... And with the gadgets, you know, you can text people across the world in seconds. So the question begs, what is going on with people's consciousness and with lifestyle that we have more gadgets that do things more faster, and yet people still don't have enough time to do a lot of stuff? What is there? Something going on there that people, the more gadgets to get that more, you'd think there would be more free time. But in fact, in general, it's the opposite. People have less free time to take the time to do stuff. That is what I call, that's like a modern Zen koan. I have to think about that. What is going on? There's a deeper something going on. Whether that's tied into the economy or like an addiction. You know, no matter how many gadgets you get, you want to do something else faster, and you want to do something else faster. So then you're working harder to get the gadgets. So in actuality, you never kind of catch up to have much time at all. Hence, I'm only sending you a video. It's a minute, so you can watch it. People are going to spend, they'll spend an hour deciding which of the 50 to 100 shades of beige and shower head to choose. But you're going to have to send them a short video to catch their attention. And one more little tidbit. This was an article at Global Research about BlackRock, the venture capitalist finance behemoth. At the end of the article, it says, "Follow the money, and we can expect that the New York Times will cheer BlackRock on as it destroys the world financial structures." Since 2017, BlackRock has been the paper's largest shareholder. Carlos Slim was second largest. Even Carl Icahn, a ruthless Wall Street asset stripper, once called BlackRock, quote, "an extremely dangerous company. I used to say, you know, the mafia has a better code of ethics than you guys," end quote. Hey, something to laugh about over the martinis. But that, I picked out that quote. That's from F. William Engdahl's article, Engdahl, Colossal Financial Pyramid, BlackRock and the World Economic Forum Great Reset. I picked out that quote because it's exemplary of the economy that we think, oh yeah, there's a few bad apples, there's a little bit of corruption here and there, if you think that, but here's this company, BlackRock, that has their financial investments in nearly everything, and here is somebody, okay, maybe he's, if he's a finance guy, maybe he's not telling the truth. You have to consider that too in the spy versus spy world. But it sounds legit to me. He is comparing basically the financial system of the world as worse than the mafia. Now, if I was a blues singer, I would be writing a blues song. How much lower can you get? And more seriously, though, that connects to what started out in this podcast, what started out talking about the countries and why they're fake and the corporations is, and this is why I love, you know, writing and talking about stuff spontaneously, because stuff comes out. I didn't plan to connect these dots. So the fragments are not so fragmented, but is that here you have the BlackRock as an example, that investment company. That is why the countries are fronts, because it's not the countries making all the decisions. You have people like corporations like BlackRock, and then there's Vanguard and State Street. I think those are the three major financial behemoths that I've learned of, that they have their tentacles into lots of stuff. So who is actually running the show? That is the question that is always a good question to ask as far as information in this information overload, news weary world. Look to the about page, find out who's behind the scenes. That is who's running the show, and even then we may not know. I mean, I've read that even the World Economic Forum, those are the sort of puppets of the people running the show. So whose show is it? Whose show is it anyway? That's the deeper question. And meanwhile, I hear as I'm thinking of what else to say to wrap this up, I hear the snow. A little bit of snow has melted and the moisture is dripping. I hear the dripping onto the patio, hitting the plastic lid of the trash pail. And that sound reminds me who's running the show. Anyway, I'll wrap it up with one of my favorite Zen stories from one of my favorite books, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. It's called Muddy Road. Tanzan and Ikido were once traveling together down a muddy road. A heavy rain was still falling. Coming round a bend, they met a lovely girl in a silk kimono and sash, unable to cross the intersection. "Come on, girl," said Tanzan at once. Lifting her in his arms, he carried her over the mud. Ikido did not speak until that night when they reached a lodging temple. Then he no longer could restrain himself. "We monks don't go near females," he told Tanzan, "especially not young and lovely ones. It is dangerous. Why did you do that?" "I left the girl there," said Tanzan. "Are you still carrying her?" So what is it? A lot of us carried baggage. We carried the baggage from the past, but in a nutshell, the Zen way is to, in the moment, do what is appropriate or necessary or helpful or whatever, and then to not be beholden to or under some kind of overarching rule that is like a rule of that doesn't apply to actual life. So thanks for listening. Be well.